Go.
Welcome to the Fat to Fit or Else podcast.
Yeah.
Where we talk about fitness, food, motivation, and general angry rants from the fat man
and
himself.
Boobies.
Stretch Roberts. So get ready for all of the above with a side of bacon. Here is your host, Stretch.
Yeah, there's no booby talk. I just made that up. That was what you call false advertising. I was trying to hook in some dudes. Oh, boy. It might sound a little different. The faltering piece of equipment that was making static is now gone, and that meant I had to completely redo my system. And I've redone the way everything's recorded now. I have, like, full-on recording studio stuff. But my microphone and all of that was left over from the podcast days, and that started in 2007. And I still had that same microphone, same mic processor, all of that stuff. And, well, make a long story short, my microphone processor went kapooey. So that's how I've sounded the same for 20 freaking years almost. And so this is the first time I am ever on a different setting. So I have a new microphone that I'm using, and I do not have a mic processor. And this new microphone is more of what's called a room mic. The old mic was a full-on broadcast radio microphone that you had to really get into to talk into. This one just kind of picks up everything. Like, you might hear a fan running right now. It's not a fan. It's my computer. It is my Mac that is running, and it is been on for a long time because I had it on as I was looking for stories to talk about on the podcast today, and I found it's just been going and going for hours. It's been on, and now it's the fan's nonstop, and that fan won't turn off until I end this podcast, most likely, because it's doing all kinds of things. But that's where we are. Hopefully it sounds all right. I like that the static is gone. I am a fan of that because that static was driving me effing crazy. I do have a lot of stories to get to. Did not get to watch much football until the end. I watched the Rams game and the Chargers game. And I guess they were both good games. The Chargers lost, the Rams won. It was, they were good. They were fun to watch. It's weird. If you're a fan of a sport, like, I love football. If it's a good game, you don't care who it is. It's just fun to watch a really good battle. So I did have two of those. I watched zero college football this weekend, and that was all championship games. I know from looking at the highlights, those bastards in Georgia won. Yes, I said those bastards because I hate the Georgia Bulldogs, being a true Alabama Crimson Tide fan. Oh, man, so here we are. Am Georgia won. What you going to do? I call them Alabama East because coaches Alabama. A lot of the players they stole, their strength, all their coaches are from Alabama. And they still can't beat them. Alabama got your number, Kirby Smart, you bastard. You fat bastard. Man, he needs to get fit. Fat to fit or else is what he needs. I am now looking at my stories, and I literally have been here for so long, I forgot the stories I had. I'm looking at my stories going, what is this one? I remember pulling this one. But this is a real good one that I found, and it talks about they have a surgeon here, and this doctor says the to-the-grass squats are an absolute 100% no. He says there are people that insist, like, you go deeper, you get to deeper, which means basically you squat down to where you look like a lady working at a Vietnamese nail salon. You squat all the way down to the ground with the weights on your back and then come up. And it is horrible, horrible for your knees. It is really bad for your knees, especially with weights on there. And it screws up the cartilage. And I already have cartilage. I seriously can move a lot of weight when I work out, but I cannot, I'm maybe 20, 25 pounds when I'm doing the leg curls because the cartilage in both my knees are so thrashed and it sounds like gravel. It hurts so bad. Just doing the motion hurts. Putting weight on it, I can't do weight. I know there's people who can do hundreds of pounds like that, and I'm not kidding. About 25 pounds is all I could do without extreme pain. But this guy comes in and says, the squat needs to be not all the way down. and it's you're not getting more out of it going all the way to the ground. And that's what knuckleheads believe. And that's what happens in how people get hurt. You watch TikTok videos or Instagram videos of people. Yeah, well, you know, you go the basic deal on a squat. You're supposed to go to your butt and your thighs are parallel to the ground. So you squat down to where you would just be in a sitting position, basically, and then explode up with the weight on your back. That's how you're supposed to do a squat. But it's become a thing to go all the way down to the what they call to the grass, so which means your butt all the way down, squatted like you're taking a poop in a hole, and then lift it from there. And that is really bad. They say nothing says patella cartilage injury like a to-the-grass squat. And it is just bad news. They say the stress can damage the cartilage that cushions the joint, especially if you're lifting heavy weights or using improper technique. Because that's another thing, too. Squats, it's a dangerous lift. If it's not done right, you should have a belt on just to be safe. And you need to keep your knees over the balls of your feet, because if you lean too forward with your knees, you're also damaging your knees. There's a lot there. It's very important to have proper technique when doing a squat, and very important to not go too deep. They say squats are a great thing. They're great for your glutes, your quadriceps, your hamstrings. It's probably the best overall leg exercise you can do. Also helps strengthen your core. And when you're moving the biggest muscles in your body, which are your leg muscles, you're burning more calories. It's good for your posture. Everything is good about it unless you go too deep. So you got to be careful not to hunch your back. You got to keep your back good so you have good upper body posture. Make sure not to overextend your hips. Do not let your chest drop down, because then you're putting a lot of strain on your back and you're going to lift with your lower back and you're going to get a lower back injury while you're doing it. And don't go too heavy. Believe me, body weight squats are a great exercise. And even then, you need proper form. You need proper form if you're doing body weight squats. But if you get heavy weight on you and do something, you're just going to hurt yourself. There's no upside to it. So seriously, take a look at that. It is a great article, and it is written by a orthopedic surgeon who says don't do it. There's no reason to do it. And I will take it one step further. I wouldn't do it with no weights. I wouldn't do body weight squats to the grass. There's just no upside. So do it right. A great way, if you are concerned about going too deep and possibly hurting yourself, a really good thing to do is to get a weight bench, even if you're doing no body weight squats. If you're at a gym and you're in a rack, like on a Smith machine or anything like that, the cool thing about that, there are safety bars you can put in so you can't go too low, and go down till you touch those and stand up is a good one. But if you're any other way, get a chair, like a kitchen chair, if you don't have a bench, if you don't have a weight bench and you're doing it at home, and just go down till your butt touches it and then stand back up. And that'll be proper depth for sure, and a really good way to get your squats in and not hurt yourself. And if you're old like me, you get hurt. I just talked to my best friend who's had a hell of a time, having worse time than me as far as his physical health. And then on top of that, he ended up having to have gallstone surgery, and he's having a hard time coming back from it. And I'm like, dude, you're an old fat wanker like me. Our bodies don't bounce back like they used to. Like, take it easy, bro. Pump your brakes, take it easy. He's coming back, and that's always good. But he's had, he's had a few kicks in the nuts here in the last few years. All right, let's get into this story I like, and everything's so politicized that it's crazy. And this is something that's going to happen when Robert Kennedy Jr. gets in and gets a hold of the FDA and all those fun things. They say that within a matter of weeks, because this is probably going to happen day one of the Trump administration, And I don't see anything bad with this, that they are going to most likely ban certain food dyes in everything. They say red number three. They have a petition in front of them right now to revoke the authorization board, and they're hopeful that in the next few weeks they'll be acting on that petition. They are hoping to remove, and it's going to affect a lot of food. It's going to affect food, drugs, candy, beverages, snacks, soda, a lot of stuff that they're going to be trying to get rid of food dyes from. And what's crazy is that people are like, no, we need it. It's going to hurt our industries. Do you care as much about what your food looks like as what it tastes like? Because there's no, like, taste benefit to a food dye. There isn't. And I notice, you ever have, like, cake icing? And you're eating, like, let's say it's like a white birthday cake with white frosting, and then the writing is red or whatever. And then you taste it. There's this weird taste. It's the food dye where the taste comes from. When you taste that, you're like, whoa, that tastes different than the other icing. The other icing is just sweet and delicious. And then this one's kind of got like a weird tartness to it. That's gross. Yeah, that's the food dye. There's no upside to it. Sure, Fruit Loops look pretty, I guess, but they'll taste the same without the food dye. It's weird that this is even, like, I get it. All right, cool. Let's get rid of it. And people are fighting it. And people are like, no, it's not American. We should be able to put all the dye in there that we want. And it's like, no, it's not good. And now they're talking to doctors and they're saying, it's better to be safe than sorry. They're like, there isn't a ton of hard science to prove that it's unhealthy. But they say there is some, and it needs to be researched further, and it's better to be safe than sorry. And if you really think about this, we're talking mostly about children, I'm 100% for getting rid of it. I'd have no problem eating a bowl of Fruit Loops that didn't have the glowing neon colors that I currently have. Yeah, he is the, RFK is going to be the health secretary, and he previously has claimed, remember, he's claimed some wild stuff, but he says that food dyes are linked to cancer and that there's effects on that. Of course, it's crazy. That book I had told you guys about that I bought, it is insane. The book called Good Energy, and written by this Dr. Haley Means. It is really crazy at who funds the science on food research. It's the food industry. Like the sugar companies and Coca-Cola and stuff like that. And guess where the results kind of always favor? Those companies. That's who. It's nuts. If you look at the food pyramid, if you're old like me and you remember the food pyramid, that thing is effed up and wrong. And you know why? Because of food lobbyists. That's why it's effed up and wrong. Like, sure, we should have some wheat and some grains, and we should have some dairy and all of that. And it's all moderation, but it shouldn't be the foundation of our diet. And like I'm being taught now by my heart doctor, like, hey, dude, you need chicken, turkey, fish. That's all you should be eating. I did have steak tonight, but I'm not supposed to. I love steak. Oh, it's delicious. But better to have steak, I see, than like a burger. A burger's got a lot more fat in it. And I'm trying to do my best to eat cleaner and cleaner. And that's the heart doctor talking and the cholesterol talking. But very crazy at how people are fighting this. It's like, what's the downside to it? Your food's not going to be as pretty? Well, if you want colorful, really good foods, then make really natural foods. Those are colorful. There's every color in the rainbow naturally in foods. Now, let's get into this story that I'm going to shock people right now. Shock people. Because this is another one that I had no idea. What do we hear? And I've even done it here on the show as a challenge. What do we hear is the gold standard for steps in a day? 5,000 steps a day. That's the gold standard. You want to be in optimal health, 10,000 steps a day, to which I said was really hard for me to do. Like, I had to make a intense, concerted effort to get it. I got it. Wasn't like I physically was incapable. It was just time. That's a lot. That's 5 miles a day. All right, the 10,000 steps a day guidelines, guess where that comes from? It was invented in 1965 as part of a marketing campaign for a Japanese company that had a pedometer that measured your 10,000 steps a day. So they're the ones that came up with 10,000 daily steps. And then it was the first time anyone, there was no other one out there. There wasn't one saying, you know, you need to take this many steps a day or anything. It was the first place to do it. And it was so effective that it became the gold standard with no scientific data behind it whatsoever. Because, like, geez, if you walk 5 miles a day, you're probably going to be pretty healthy. Or, you know, cardio-wise, it's going to be good for you. Well, now someone's really dug into this for the first time. And they're like, yeah, 10,000 steps a day is insane. 10,000 steps a day for who? Is it 10,000 steps a day if you're under 25? Is it maybe 9,000 steps if you're 30? Like, where is it? Because you want a 75-year-old person out there doing 10,000 steps a day? Because there's never been, have you ever heard that? Because I've never heard that. I've heard, well, you know, obviously if you can't, you know, do what you can, but it's 10,000 steps a day. No, it's not. It's not 10,000 steps a day. It is a facade. So they say in 2019, they did a study. They found that older women that did 4,400 steps a day had a lower risk of premature death compared to those who walked only 2,700 steps a day. So it's just about at double. And they say the health benefits for the same age group plateaued at 7,500 steps. So if you were doing 4,400 steps a day, you had a lower risk of premature death compared to someone who was only doing 2,700 steps a day. And you were doing 7,500, you had a lower risk of premature death than someone who was doing 4,400. However, at 7,500, that was the ceiling. That was it. There was no more, and this is for older women. There was no like, wow, I'm doing 12,000 steps a day and I'm like even longer. So the ceiling was 7,500 steps. Then in 2022, they found that 7,000 daily steps could help people over 60 live longer. Younger adults may see the most benefits from around 9,000 steps a day. So you see where we're going here? This is all BS. And don't get me wrong, if you're doing 10,000 steps a day, God bless you. There's some people that go running every day, and I preach against running all the time because it's horrible for your body. But at the same time, cardio-wise, it's pretty good. They say seniors 70 and older, meanwhile, can experience health benefits from just 2,500 steps a day. The average American walks 3,000 to 4,000 daily steps, or about 1.5 to 2 miles. Walking less than 5,000 steps a day is generally considered a sedentary lifestyle. So if you're old, though, 2,500 steps a day is good. So if you're a senior citizen over 70, 2,500 steps a day is pretty solid for you. I like this article. I like that someone looked into this. They say not getting enough physical activity can significantly increase the risk of heart disease, obesity, diabetes, stroke, certain cancers, and other chronic conditions. So the number of men who have, I'm going to get into it. I got another bad news story coming up here, but this isn't bad news. This is good news. This is someone looking at something that we all just assumed to be true, and it wasn't. Kind of like a lot of people watch stupid TikTok videos of people working out and go, dude, I do squats, but I don't do ass to the ground squats. Those are way better. No, they're not. They will destroy your knees. Destroy, destroy, destroy your knees. Do not do those. Do not do those. 10,000 steps a day. Oh, that's the gold standard. No, it's not. That's the standard made up by a company that was marketing pedometers in 1965, and no one's ever challenged it until now. That's crazy. Crazy. All right, here's another one. There is a story or more data, and this has taken 20-something years to do, but Ground Zero in New York City, where the Twin Towers fell. We all know that a lot of the first responders that worked there and the construction people and everyone that came in and cleaned that up, they all started suffering all kinds of cancers and strange diseases after that, because buildings collapsing into that cloud of nasty dust and God knows what was in it and when those buildings were built, and it was not good. Now they're noticing a skyrocketing number of men in that area who live in that area or work in that area in breast cancer in men. So the Center for Disease Control reports that 91 men in the World Trade Center Health Program have been diagnosed with breast cancer, which is six times the number of first reported in 2018 and 90 times higher than the national average. So in this concentrated area, they say roughly one out of 100,000 men potentially get breast cancer, a disease that typically is seen mostly in females. But whatever is in the air, the whatever's going on in that area, and it's still happening, these people are getting breast cancer in that area. Men are. Interesting. 90 times the national average. That's alarming. I'm glad I've stayed there at Ground Zero before in a hotel, but I didn't stay for a long period of time. I did not have a extended. I stayed there when it was still a hole in the ground in the hotel right next to it. Right, literally across the street. Oh boy, now I have a story that's just gonna, it's not gonna make me happy, but it's just talking about fast food, and you know I'm a fat man who loves the fast food. And this is fun, but not really, because I see through how this goes, and they don't, I think the article is a little disingenuous, but they say they have ranked the worst rated fast food chains in the United States, and they use customer complaints for poor service and bad food as the criteria. And what do you think number one is? Number one is Kentucky Fried Chicken. And you know what's funny? When I first saw it, I was like, I'll give you that. I'll give you KFC. Even though I pick KFC over Taco Bell. There's just a lot more Taco Bells, but KFC, number one. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But then when you break it down, it's in certain states where they really get hammered. And then I see number two is McDonald's. And I'm like, wait a minute, you communist bastards. McDonald's is the king of fast food. McDonald's is the epitome of fast food. McDonald's invented fast food. Let's just face it. And McDonald's food is not good. It is consistent. It is solid. It is comforting. We all grew up with it. And I don't think it's there. And then I see number three is Burger King. So I'm like, okay, your top three are also your three biggest. So you have more complaints. If you have 5,000-10,000 locations, I'm going to have more complaints than a guy that has 200 locations, hopefully, or the guy with 200 locations got a serious problem. So I'm taking it with a grain of salt. McDonald's is number two. And by the way, thanks to the great state of Alabama, seems to hate McDonald's. They blasted it the most in Iowa, giving it only a 2.68. Burger King comes in at number three. Church's Texas Chicken comes in at number four. So that's, I didn't know Church's was Texas Chicken. I know that Popeye's, I guess, is Louisiana. I didn't know Church's was Texas. So Church's is number four. And Long John Silver's is number five. Those, I don't even know where there's a Long John Silver's. And Churches are pretty few and far between here in Southern California, too. They're here, but they're not like McDonald's or KFC or anything like that. Number six is a chain I've never even heard of called Taco Bueno. Have you heard of that? Then number seven, finally Taco Bell rolls in. But Taco Bell, besides mediocre food at best, is, you know, they don't really make any food at Taco Bell. It's all made in a plant somewhere, and they just kind of reheat it and scoop it and serve it at Taco Bell's. It's smart in the sense that it makes the fast food experience fast, but kind of gross. Hardee's is number eight, and I'm weird. It's not, remember Hardee's Carl's Jr., they're the same restaurant, but it's like One's the East Coast, one's the West Coast. So the East Coast is Hardee's. Carl's Jr. is for the West Coast. We don't have Hardee's here on the West. But that's there. Pizza Hut and Sonic drive-ins come tie at number 9. But here's what I agree with this list. Like I said, though, where I take it with a grain of salt is all of these, most of these restaurants have thousands and thousands and thousands of locations. So, of course, they're going to have more complaints and more stuff. But not on the list are my go-tos, which are In-N-Out is awesome and delicious. Five Guys, awesome and delicious. Popeyes, awesome and delicious. Those aren't on here. And those are that's my three right there. That's the ones I love. Tommy Burger is strictly a, I don't know if that's out of Southern California, but God, I love me the Tommy Burger. And those are all not on here, and they don't have as many Popeyes. Like, I think the closest Popeyes to me, I live right by Santa Monica, between Santa Monica and Malibu. And the closest Popeyes to my house is, it's Los Angeles. But remember, my house is in Los Angeles, so I live in Los Angeles. But this is a Los Angeles address, and it is off of, La Cienega. Like up at La Cienega and Jefferson, somewhere right there. I think that's it, or La Brea and Jefferson. I forget which one it is. I haven't been in a long time. And when you get there, it has bulletproof glass in the drive-thru, and they put the food in the bulletproof glass, and then they turn it so you can't stick a gun in there and rob them. That's how great the neighborhood is where this is at. And that's the closest one to my house. So when I get Burbank, where my son lives, has two Popeyes, and I love going to Popeyes. I'll visit my son and be like, let's go to Popeyes, even though now, with the cholesterol issues, I have not done that in a while. I am trying, even though I am a fast food whore, I am seriously trying to not be as bad of a fast food whore. All right, let's get up out of here. If you guys still need to do your shopping, don't forget my friends at Spyrid.com and Fit10 at checkout. If you missed the Black Friday sale, that was golden. And I've talked to them. Apparently it did really, really well. And they sold a lot of shoes. So cool for them. If you got some, shout out to you. I hope you enjoy them when you get them in the mail. And they are still there. Don't forget them. So go pick those up. In fact, I am wearing some all black Spyras as we speak, as I do this show. So I will talk to you guys again on Friday. I'll be back for the bonus pod. Hope you have a great week, and see ya.